What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I'm with Amy Zander. Amy, what a lovely office slash den you have here. We're face to face. Oh my God, this is amazing.
I know, it's been so long since we've been in the same room together. It's so exciting.
Yes, so I was at an event last night, headed back to my hometown of Grand Ledge, Michigan here. Well, not my hometown, but my previous hometown. And that's where Amy lives. So we decided to do it live today with a single mic. So no audio processing for this round. So Amy, it's been a while since we've talked about it. So let's start the podcast up right here. Did you ever read a book that was written by social media guru David Meerman Scott years ago? I think it was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8, 9 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, called Newsjacking.
I have not read the book, but for our listeners, newsjacking is when a brand or firm mentions or creates a campaign centered around a major, well-discussed news item. It's slightly different from a publicity stunt in that the news item is leveraged in marketing, while a stunt might acknowledge news within a particular venue or place of business. So it's basically riding the coattails of something that happened in the news and using it for your advertising.
Right. You know, there's a lot of advantages of doing that. You can get picked up by, you know, interviewed by, if you're an expert, you can get interviewed by media people and news people, newspaper article people or bloggers will contact you as an expert. So there's a lot of advantages, hence the book. But there's a reason why I'm bringing it up today for today's podcast. Amazingly, it's been 10 years or so since he wrote the book, but I think the concepts that he outlined there were really are still perfectly valid, and it's definitely a book we would recommend to our listeners. So we'll leave a link to it in our show notes. In the book, David gives guidance on how to effectively ride that wave of coverage and viral spread when those news events happen. And I don't know if you've noticed, Amy, have you noticed that there's been some news events in the news for like the last couple of years? Have you noticed that?
What?
I know. Yeah, there is. Newsworthy things are happening all the time. So our podcast today is going to take a look at some examples of brands that are successfully doing, and then not so successfully in some cases, riding the free wave of public discourse. So it's about newsjacking, but I think that in today's climate, there is, people would be drawn to this idea, but there's a dangerous side of it. There's a dark side to newsjacking, which is really the, kind of the point of it today. So have you seen any examples of newsjacking recently that you can think
Yeah,
of?
So I did one with a client, actually. It was their idea, but you remember when there was that picture of Bernie Sanders like sitting with like knitted mittens on, mm-hmm. and people were like sticking that in all kinds of pictures and
memes are a great way of newsjacking. Yeah.
So I have a roofing company client, and you know, they always talk about how it's super annoying when the homeowner like sits and watches them the whole time when they're doing a roof.
Yeah.
So we took that image and we put it like him in the picture of like he was like Bernie was watching them do the roof or whatever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we did that. But one of my favorite like true newsjacking things is an example of Peloton and Aviation Gin. So that was pretty funny.
I love Ryan Reynolds.
I know.
The and way he markets that company. Is awesome.
I know.
So
and
what they do, I don't remember it. What
yeah. So it happened in December of 2019. So Peloton put out a commercial that was really critically like dissed in the media. So basically the commercial was a husband who bought his wife a Peloton bike for Christmas, and then she takes videos of herself using it for like the whole next year, and then shows him,
just like you would see in a online kind of YouTube meme kind of thing.
Yeah. And then she shows him seemingly like the following Christmas her video of the whole year like using it, and the title of the commercial is "The Gift That Gives Back," right? So it was heavily criticized and mocked throughout social media because people thought that it enforced like dated gender norms and it goes against body positivity and, you know, things like that. And it could be insinuated that like he gave it to her because she was out of shape.
He could have given her a vacuum cleaner.
Well,
right.
I know. But I mean, I could argue that like maybe that's what she actually wanted. Uh-huh. Like, you know, yeah, I mean, sure. Whatever. But so the newsjacking part of it was after that ad ran, actor and Aviation American Gin owner Ryan Reynolds, who has amazing jester brand, right?
Awesome.
He immediately cast Monica Ruiz, who was the mom, the Peloton wife, in the commercial. He called her up and he cast her in a commercial that he kind of did like
immediately, like in a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah, like right away.
Right,
yes,
away.
Like, yeah.
Hours. Yeah,
right.
Probably, yeah.
So they made a commercial for Aviation Gin that was supposed to be like a sequel to the Peloton commercial. And it's titled "The Gift That Doesn't Give Back." And Ruiz, she sits in a bar. She's staring blankly at the camera. She's like emotionally sipping on the gin, and she compliments the smooth taste of the gin. And her supportive friends offer her more gin, and they make comments like, "You look great, by the way." So that was the ad, but also,
and you're looking better the more we drink.
I know, right. But that was part of the newsjacking, and then he also, in response to the ad, he like tweeted right away after the Peloton ad ran with his gin, and the caption was "Exercise bike not included."
There's no question now.
Yeah.
That's if you really wanna check out an awesome jester brand, pretty much everything that they're doing is just spot on, and it is, and they really push the boundaries of what you expect to see in a commercial for an alcoholic beverage.
Right.
Funny stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we dive into other examples, let's lay down a little bit of groundwork for the listeners. So, Amy, what's in your mind, what is mandatory if a business is going to kind of take on this kind of marketing concept of newsjacking? What do you think we need to be thinking about?
Yeah, so I think the first and most obvious is that the resulting presentation should be within brand.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So regardless of what story you're newsjacking or what's going on or how that was presented, you still have to stay within your own brand. And, you know, hopefully that's the archetype that you chose.
Yeah. And if you haven't done that, take the questionnaire
right at
brandarchetypes.com and do the questionnaire.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, totally agree with that. I would also suggest that if you're successful at fitting it within your brand, the marketing piece needs to come across as being authentic. And I'm putting air quotes. You can't see me doing it right now, but I'm putting air quotes around the word authentic. Okay. So inauthentic marketing, it's not just a waste of time and money. It can actually be harmful to your brand. And I think that in this bucket of what we're talking about today, there is a lot of inauthentic marketing that's being spun off. You know, people trying to be really super sensitive to the pandemic issues and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, where it could be kind of a newsjacking thing, but it's just,
so they're trying too hard sometimes.
They're trying too hard, and it's not authentic. It just doesn't feel
retrofitting
real.
Retrofitting it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. What else?
Yeah. So something else I think to avoid would be tapping into negative emotions. So one of the benefits of archetype branding is that the emotions are all powerful and easy to understand. They're universal, but they're also positive emotions.
Yeah, totally agree with that. So, okay.
So we don't want to get into like any fear mongering.
Right. So being within brand, being authentic, and being positive. So keep all of that stuff in mind. So yeah, I can't disagree with any of that.
Yeah.
So
I've seen quite a few ads that are tapping into issues surrounding the pandemic,
yeah,
right?
Like
I mean, it was, you know, it's so fascinating to me to see how fast a lot of companies jump on bandwagons. I mean, how quickly did we then see people in commercials wearing masks after we had to wear masks?
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like an overnight this happened, right? It's
right.
Always fascinating to me how quickly that happens.
Right.
You know, when people are portraying themselves as caring, You know, are you including this in your discussions? Like, are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's where a lot of the inauthenticity, if that's a word, that if you're trying to portray yourself as being caring and warm and fuzzy because we care about you in these trying times, but you were never that before, yeah, that's where you start to cross the line. You're not staying within brand and you're not being authentic. So yeah, I would absolutely say the pandemic, it's definitely a global newsworthy event. Brands are going to be drawn to that to these kinds of strategies. So I think that's kind of natural for that to happen. There is an article in the Washington Post, interesting. The title of it was, "Every pandemic-themed TV commercial is an empty advertisement for advertising." It's like, we'll include a link to the show notes, in the show notes. So in that article, the author described how he and his family tried to guess what company is posting the commercial. And just the fact that they're doing this, and it demonstrates that it's not just a one-off thing. It's happening way more often than just seeing it once, right? So, and since I read the article, absolutely, that is happening, that there are people who are kind of tapping into that kind of thing. So if you're going to try to guess who the commercial is in advance, if you've never seen the commercial, sometimes it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Have you seen commercials like that?
Yeah, I have. I can totally agree with that. More importantly, I think though, if each of those companies went through the 3 points we just outlined, the vast majority of them would not have to have put in the effort, and then we wouldn't be sitting here guessing what the commercial's for.
Yeah. So, a la what the Washington Post writer does. Let's take a look at some specific examples. Okay. So, first up. Let's actually do what the Washington Post person does.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to play a bit of a commercial, the audio part of a commercial, and you know, we'll describe what the visuals are. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can actually watch the actual commercial. But let's try this out here. So we'll play the audio first.
There's a chapel in Kansas, standing on the exact center of the lower 48. It never closes. All are more than welcome to come meet here in the middle. It's no secret. The middle has been a hard place to get to lately, between red and blue, between servant and citizen, between our freedom and our fear. Now, fear has never been the best of who we are. And as for freedom, it's not the property of just the fortunate few. It belongs to us all. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, it's what connects us. And we need that connection. We need the middle. We just have to remember the very soil we stand on is common ground. So we can get there. We can make it to the mountaintop, through the desert, and we will cross this divide. Our light has always found its way through the darkness. And there's hope on the road. Up ahead.
Okay, so let's first again point out that we are not launching a discussion of politics here. Okay, we're not talking about politics. The images that are in the commercial are very homey. They're very Americana kind of feel, real middle class.
Farmland.
Yeah, right. Yeah. People in pickup trucks that are working hard, you know, the soft music and the, you know, the morning light and things like that. So it's, I think it's a well-crafted commercial. But we don't find out who the advertiser is until the very, very, very end. So,
yeah. Well, I think they do a shot. I think they do a shot right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Of it. Yeah.
Right. But if you don't catch that,
no.
And if you're just context of the commercial,
and if you're just listening to it, you wouldn't ever know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's interesting, but I don't know why. I mean, can I say who it is?
Well,
not yet.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
So sure, it's a commercial for Jeep.
It is
Jeep Wrangler. It seems really off-brand for me.
Yeah, well,
personally.
Okay. So,
but
I love the message. Yeah. I really, really love the message. I think it's a necessary message. I think we do have to come to the middle, right?
Yeah.
But. It's super dangerous.
Yeah,
super dangerous to do this. Okay, so if I bring this up that we need to come to the middle, this immediately brings up images of politics, of the fact that we're not in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in the middle right now, you're on an edge. And you're really ticked off right now from the other side.
Right.
How can you avoid that? To talk about coming to the middle, you are inherently commenting about people being on the fringe or being out at the edges. So I think it's a really, really dangerous proposition.
It's bold.
Our country is so divided right now. I don't think it's possible to formulate a message like this without stirring up the anger that people have for the, quote, other side.
Yeah.
And again, both sides are angry. Both sides are angry. And as important as it might be for our nation to have discourse on how we relearn to talk to each other, I think the path to get there will be filled with disagreement and anger and resentment. And it's not like we haven't done this before. If you look at 1860s post-Civil War, the division we had back then, it took us many, many, many decades, 7 or 8 decades to get past that. And I would not be hanging my star on that, my brand, on that idea for a marketing tactic. I think it's super dangerous. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And like I said earlier, I also think it's just a little bit off-brand for Jeep, but that was also not good on their part. But I have to give them props for being brave.
Is it brave?
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about, because there's a lot of things to talk about here. Yeah.
Well, but do you see this as the same strategy when you find businesses posting up, you know, signs that they support their favorite politician?
Yeah, I think I would. I actually would. Yeah. So if I see a sign on a business, and it depends on how overt they are, right? I don't think that there's any way to avoid, because of the divisiveness that we have in this country right now, there are going to be people who are so pissed off that you've done that they will not patronize your business. How many business, you know, let's give each side a solid 30 to 40% of the population with another 20% in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, and of that 20%, let's say a quarter of them, you know, 5%,
right,
maybe as much as 10%, choose to not patronize your business because you put that sign right out in front of your place of business. I don't know of many businesses that can arbitrarily shave off 5 or 10% of their target audience.
Yeah, but the flip side of that is that by putting the political sign up there, they might get more customers that are in alignment with that sign.
Right.
So it might make up the difference.
And it is totally okay for a business owner to run their business in any way they want.
Well, supposedly.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, like, okay, so this brings to mind when we had lots of rallies down at the Lansing Capitol, right,
sure,
in the past couple of years. And there was one about, you know, the pandemic and the mask mandate and businesses being closed temporarily. And there was a lot of people down there. And it was mostly conservative people that were arguing that we shouldn't do any of this stuff or something. And I was watching it on TV and I saw several different vehicles down there that were
newsjacking.
Well, what they had their whole logo on the side of it. A lot of like contractors and service people and like, you know, that kind of thing. People that would have their name on their side of their car. And I was like, oh, I wouldn't do that. I would not have driven that vehicle down there. I just wouldn't have exposed my business like that.
To be associated.
I would have driven a different car. I would have not had it in that, you know.
There's no difference between the two.
Yeah, I know.
In one case, you're bringing the politics to your front door. In the other, you're taking your front door to the politics.
Right. Yeah. But I got really nervous for some. And I was like so thankful I didn't see any of my customers down there because I would have had to have a talk with them.
Don't do that.
And not because of my own personal feelings about what was going on. It was just so volatile.
Right, and dangerous from a brand perspective. It is so hard to manage and build and grow a brand that these tactics are dangerous. And that's really kind of the point we're taking is in an environment that we're in with divisiveness and people taking sides, and you are almost for sure going to shave off maybe double digit percentages of your target audience. And not many people can endure that.
I know. It kind of reminds me of like why I don't put any sort of like business logo or anything on my car, because if I drive like a jerk or cut somebody off, I don't want people to be like, oh.
I'll give a little plug here to the company that does this, but PID Plates, PIDplates.com. They sell these little plastic, they're stick on, but it looks like the chrome, like a chrome emblem that you would have in the back of a car.
Okay.
And so you can get letters. So you can, I have my URL, www.blockmarketing.com in the back of my car. I've had that for years. And it looks really, it's not like a bumper sticker.
Right.
It looks kind of classy. It's like, ooh, look at this. It's got chrome letters on the back. Oh, cool. But the exact same thing. it stops me from driving badly.
Right.
Or flipping people off.
Right. But absolutely. I guess it would be a little bit on brand for me as the outlaw brand.
So let me just kind of wind that part up. If a business owner goes into that process of choosing, eyes wide open, of putting a political sign out in front of their place of business, and they are fully comfortable with the potential ramifications, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying don't do it willy-nilly. Because I have seen articles, lots of articles in the last year where people are being political with their business, and they're suffering the hit. That mm-hmm. there are people who are very seriously suffering.
Yeah.
And of course, they want to blame it on the other side, but no.
Right.
That was your choice to take that strategy.
Yeah.
Right.
I was downtown the other day, and there's two businesses side by side. I'm not going to name them, but they have very similar businesses, and they do a lot of things together and all that kind of stuff. And they both had signs on their front door. Mm-hmm. One of them was like, absolutely no entry without a mask. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was like, for the safety of our employees, please wear a mask. And they were just like, and I was like, such a different message, right? But because I know these two businesses and one of them is a client of mine, it actually was really on brand for both of them.
For both of them.
Yeah,
right.
To have those messages. Right. And I was just like,
As a Jester brand, I would have put, if you're wearing a mask and can't find a place to shop, you can come into our place.
Right.
right next to their sign.
Right.
Okay, so there was one commercial that prompted me to think about this whole episode. So it's a little less direct, so we've kind of saved it. It's a little less offensive, and when you watch it, it appears at first blush that's a kind of a creative concept. I'm looking at it like that. And it's not just a single commercial. It's a whole campaign. So the commercial is a part of a campaign created by Taco Bell where they are presenting their new product, the taco sandwich. Have you seen these?
No.
Oh, yeah. So it's a big taco, but the shell is like kind of
bready.
Bready,
okay.
Yeah. And so it's wrapped up.
Okay.
And so the gist of the commercial is that ostensibly, there are already people that are on both sides of this issue, and they're all vocally and very passionately defending their side. Is it a taco or is it a sandwich? And it's like, and so people are protesting. They got signs and it's a sandwich, and then people yelling at each other as they're driving by in a car, drive-bys.
Right.
So the implication is kind of that you too should choose a side.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Do you think it's a sandwich or do you think it's a taco?
Right. And the only way to find out is to eat one, right?
Right. So I think this division that they are building into their product, it's a little too close to home. It's a little too close to the reality that we're... Of course, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's not politics, it's tacos.
It's exactly right. But again, like the previous, more obvious commercial, can you tap into that space in a person's brain and not dig up the negative anger? You know, the angry stuff. Is it possible to do that? I don't think it is. I think it's super dangerous to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the commercials are super creative, but I think it's super dangerous. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think we have to give a wee bit of credit to Taco Bell, though. I mean, one of their commercials pits college football fans on either side of the issue, right?
Yeah, another
one takes a place at a university debate team competition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not all about politics.
Yeah, okay. I'll agree with that. But it's, man, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
That's a really, really slow. Lots of negative possibilities. Again, we will, let's play one of the audio of one of the commercials, and I'll, let you kind of listen to it. There's a super quick generic one that kind of introduces the concept, and then all the other commercials in their campaign go deeper. They're a little bit longer, and they're a little bit more targeted to a specific idea. But they launched the sandwich taco debate issue pretty clearly. So,
the new crispy chicken sandwich taco from Taco Bell. Is it a sandwich or a taco? Which side are you on? Try it with special pricing on the app.
So, Amy, have you seen any other marketing campaigns that do an okay job of tackling these issues?
Yeah, I think there's a commercial for Clorox wipes that was very motherly, you know, using their bleach wipes to keep surfaces clean because you care for your loved ones. So that's tapping in again to the whole pandemic thing, right?
Yeah, but like we said earlier, they are a motherly brand.
Right.
And of course you can do that if you're already a mother brand and that's the message that you're building and you're newsjacking in that you're tapping into the pandemic, the viruses and
right.
stuff. Yeah, that makes total sense. I was a little lightweight on the presentation, but
right.
no, it's fine. Similarly pandemic related, I saw an AT&T commercial. It pointed out how they're helping people stay connected. You know, that's very helpful
sure.
and, you know, neighborly, I suppose. And as effective as the commercial is, my only concern, you know, for both of these examples, are they truly being authentic? Do they care about connecting people? Does Clorox really care about their families and being motherly and stuff? Or is it just marketing?
Right.
You know, so it's a dance. That is a fine line of trying to convey authenticity, and you know when it's wrong, you know when it's off.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
well, and you know, we've been living with this pandemic for a while now, so there are so many of these that it's starting to feel just like a tactic,
right,
and not a brand strategy.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, so there, you know, definitely a reason to make these decisions very cautiously.
I saw a State Farm commercial that was talking about our, you know, our quote new normal.
Oh, I hate that.
Don't
term.
You hate that?
Yes,
I really
I
hate that phrase.
That
new
term.
Normal. This is not normal.
No,
in
none
any
of
way.
It's normal. I don't want this to be normal.
No. I agree with the idea that we have to adapt
yeah,
to things
sure.
that come our way, but I don't have to call this normal.
Right. Anyway.
I don't even want to use that phrase.
Right.
But our new normal is what they tapped into very pointedly, and how the pandemic had so dramatically changed our lives, and we're all experiencing this new normal. Yeah, that's fine. If you're gonna create one of these potentially inauthentic commercials and you're doing this as a tactic, I wouldn't recommend that. But if you're gonna do it, I suppose. But what I found was I was kind of watching the commercial and I was anxiously waiting to see, okay, how are they gonna tie in State Farm to this idea
right.
of the new normal?
That's
right?
always the trick.
It is, right,
yeah.
right. So Clorox being motherly, yeah, really taking
sure.
care of your family
cleaning.
Is really
yeah, sure,
direct.
Sure.
AT&T connecting with, yeah, I got that. Okay, State Farm, I wasn't seeing how insurance where they were going to do this. And then they wound it up where the commercial suggested, because State Farm is there, you know, their tagline, you should contact your agent because they'll make you feel more normal. Too
much of a disconnect. They didn't do a good job there.
They didn't do a connection, and it just rung hollow at the very end.
Yeah.
So I didn't like that one.
Yeah. Well, I think one way to try to avoid that or make your advertising better is to just, take your brand archetype approach to that brand strategy, and you'll likely avoid simple mistakes that, other brands fall into because you're still staying on brand.
Yeah, it's the beauty of the brand archetypes process. The whole idea, if you stay true to this strategy, you almost can't let yourself make those kinds of mistakes. Because you'll realize right from the get-go, that's going to be really hard to stay on brand there,
mm-hmm.
right? So, Amy, last week we introduced the concept of marketing mayhem. And as we wind up today's
yes.
podcast, I'm assuming you have another one for us here.
I do. I'll give our quick wrap-up, though. If you have seen any marketing that just seems dangerous or you think it's flat-out a mistake, we'd love to see it. Presenting lots of examples is one way our viewers learn not just what to do, but what not to do. Mm-hmm. So visit brandarchetypes.com, take the questionnaire if you haven't, and then follow us on all the social media at Brand Archetypes.
Okay.
So this week's marketing mayhem, we will put a picture of this ad in our show notes. Last week we played a video. This one is a printed ad.
It looks like a magazine ad or something.
Yeah, it does look like it's in a magazine ad. It's a woman. It looks about... She looks like 50s, 60s mm-hmm. era 50,
yeah.
mm-hmm. housewife. It's a yellow background. She's going, ooh, and she's holding a bottle of ketchup. All right. So or she's pointing to a bottle of ketchup and she looks excited about this ketchup. So Kevin is going to read the copy of this ad.
Okay. But maybe put on my 1950s TV commercial radio voice.
Right.
Okay. You mean a woman can open it? Easily without a knife, blade, or bottle opener, or even a husband.
What?
All it takes is a dainty grasp, an easy two-finger twist.
Dainty.
And the ketchup is ready to pour.
Oh, my God.
We call this safe-sealing bottle cap the Alcoa High Top. It's made of pure, food-loving Alcoa aluminum. It spins off and back on again without muscle power. Because an exclusive Alcoa process tailors it to each bottle's threads after it is on the bottle.
Oh.
By vacuum sealing both top and sides, the high top gives purity a double guard. You'll recognize the attractive, tractable high top when you see it on your grocer's shelf. It's long, it's white, it's grooved, and it's in the most famous and flavorful brands. Put the bottle that wears it in your basket. Save fumbling, fuming, and fingers at opening time with the most cooperative cap in the world, the Alcoa High Top Closure.
Okay, I want to point out two things. The first, the big
my
caption.
My awesomeness
well,
of
that,
my voice.
Yes,
yeah,
you
okay.
did great. The big thing, well, the caption, you mean a woman can
open
it? And woman is underlined, by the way. What? I mean, I'm not going to lie.
We've come a long way, baby.
I'm not going to lie. I do hand my husband and my teenage son things to open for me. I certainly do.
There's
However,
nothing wrong with
it. And the other thing I would like to point out is, where does it say that? It's long, it's
white,
it's grooved.
Yeah.
What? Oh, my God.
Yes. It's
terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. The bit that got me was it's all it takes is a dainty grasp.
Dainty grasp.
Okay, so I would say if you were to put all women on a bell curve and all men on a bell curve, probably genetically, because on a bell curve men are
bigger.
On average bigger and stronger,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
But that's not to say that there are not hundreds of thousands of women who could kick my butt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're not dainty.
Or dainty men. I mean,
right.
Come on.
Exactly right. Okay, so yeah, that's a bit dated.
Yeah, just a bit.
Awesome. Okay, thanks right. everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.